Hello, this is Chatterbox, the Norwich Talking Newspaper. This is edition number 2021, recorded on Thursday, the 2nd of August 2018. Call us on 01603 765 365, that's 765 365, with your news, views and comments, because we always love to hear from you. Part one of Chatterbox this week is read by me, Paddy Watkins, and
Ian Robertson.
This week we'll have the usual news items from the evening news, letters from readers, information desk, and three very varied features. The first takes us on a day out with the fire service. The second tells us about a new service helping rough sleepers in Norwich. And the third is a cheering tale about a three-legged dog. We will start with some of the stories making the news in Norwich this week.
Our first story this week is about Chatterbox itself. Thursday's Evening News carried a story about the garden party we are organising for our volunteers. The second story has a Chatterbox connection as well. It is about a Norwich and Norfolk Hospital research project into dizziness, and although you won't hear this on the story, one of the three researchers is Chatterbox sound recordist Stephen Cox. One of the big stories this week was the news that Norwich City Council has been buying up property in the city. It is not surprising that this has led to many responses from evening news readers, as we will hear later. The council is also authorising demolition of properties, and one feature of the city skyline, the gas holder at Gas Hill, is about to come down. We do not know if they plan to rename the hill, perhaps no Gas Hill. But first, let's hear about Chatterbox. A Norwich-based talking newspaper is preparing to celebrate its 40th anniversary. On the 5th of August, Chatterbox, the Norwich talking newspaper, will hold a private garden party for its volunteers and listeners at the Great Hospital in Bishopgate. Taking place from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m, the celebrations will feature live music from band Iceni Rising and artist Matthew Wadsworth. There will be tours of the Great Hospital and a prize raffle, including subscriptions to the EDP Norfolk magazine and Let's Talk magazine, theatre tickets and a newsroom experience at the Eastern Daily Press and Norwich Evening News headquarters. The Lord Mayor and Sheriff of Norwich will also attend the event. Since it was launched, Chatterbox volunteers have produced more than 2,020 editions, recording the Norwich Evening News on a weekly basis and the monthly editions of Let's Talk magazine. The recordings go to around 500 blind and visually impaired listeners living in the Norwich area.
Thousands of patients could be relieved of dizziness sooner after a pioneering project was given an £850,000 boost. The Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital has joined forces with the University of East Anglia to develop a wearable piece of a technology that hopes to speed up the diagnosis of the most common causes of the condition. Early prototypes of the Continuous Ambulatory Vestibular Assessment, CAVA, device have been around since 2012, but the grant from the Medical Research Council will allow the teams to complete the design and begin clinical trials. Dizziness is one of the most common reasons for a doctor to visit patients over the age of 75, but due to the nature of the condition, it can pass quickly. The device, which uses five electrodes attached to a person's head, will allow patients to evaluate during an attack of dizziness. Principal investigator John Phillips, a consultant ear, nose and throat surgeon at the Norfolk Norwich University Hospital, said that they would start clinical studies later this year and would seek volunteers to test the device for 30 days. Dizziness can be caused by the problem with the inner ear, but dizziness can also be caused by a whole host of conditions, including heart and circulatory conditions, neurological conditions, metabolic conditions such as diabetes, and even anxiety, he said. As such, it can often be very hard to identify the exact cause.
Councils are pouring millions of taxpayers' pounds into commercial property to make up for money lost by government cuts. Norwich City Council is snapping up £40 million worth of shops and offices and spent £13.4 million last year on buildings to rent to businesses. It has not told the public what it has bought or for how much. But research by this newspaper reveals that the council bought a block of shops in London Street for £9.4 million in April. And late last year, it splashed out £6.8 million buying Lloyds Bank on Gentleman's Walk. More big deals are in the pipeline. The council's cabinet is meeting to approve a large investment, but the details are not being made public. Green Party councillor Denise Carlo said there should be a public debate about whether commercial investments were the best use of taxpayers' money. Councils are being starved of funds by the government, and it is pushing them down these risky routes, she said. There is so much uncertainty around, especially for retail with big names going to the wall. It has become a bit of a trend around the country, but it really is an unknown risk. MPs on the Public Accounts Committee warned in 2016 of the risk of councils putting large amounts of cash into commercial property, particularly with many high streets struggling. If commercial decisions go wrong, council taxpayers will end up footing the bill and other services will be under threat, they said. But Norwich City Council said it had long invested in commercial properties and other councils across the country were doing so too. Its purchases are reviewed by expert consultants. The council also denied it was investing heavily in commercial property despite the £40 million it is putting in, representing around one-third of its annual income. So far, it has funded the purchases through its own money, but will have to borrow in the future to fund other deals.
Work is underway to demolish one of the most recognisable features of the Norwich skyline, despite a last-ditch bid to save it. Permission was granted to dismantle the city's last remaining gas holder on Gas Hill earlier this year, after the National Grid deemed them surplus to requirements. Directors of a Brundle-based building company had hoped that they would be able to salvage the towering structures by incorporating them into the design of a residential development on the site. However, with work now having started, John Brunton of Brunton Building Limited has admitted defeat in this battle, with the National Grid telling him it was too late to retain the structure. Mr. Brunton, who runs the firm alongside his son Danny, said, "It's a great shame. The gas holders are important structures that have been there for years, so it would have been a wonderful opportunity. We first looked at the possibility 2 years ago, but were not in a position to be able to make it happen. We are now, but unfortunately it is too late, which is disappointing." A spokesman for the National Grid confirmed discussions had taken place with Mr. Brunton, however. It was too late for an agreement to be reached. A spokesman said, "Unfortunately, by the time Mr. Brunton approached us, we already had the permission and the process had already started, so it was not possible for him. We explained the situation to him and he was very understanding of it." Work to dismantle the structure and remove any redundant equipment from the site began earlier this month and is planned to last until January 2019, with the land eventually made available for purchase. When this time comes, Mr. Brunton said his firm would still be greatly interested in developing the site. He said, "This is not over by any means. We still have several ideas for how we could make use of the site without the structures. One of the options would be to design something that reflects the gas holders and pays tribute to the site's rich history."